and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Our mission today is clear. To wake the dead. So let freedom's song rage. You're not a bandit. You're not alone. Last day warriors, arise from yesterday's ash and raise your fist with us. We are the army that's charging upon the land.
Good morning, State of Jefferson. How is everybody doing? So, you guys are stuck with just me today. The mouse is off doing a Civil War reenactment, busily shooting at Yankees and having a good time out at Hawes Farm. If you guys have never gone and seen the Civil War reenactment, head out to Hawes Farm in Reading today. Get a good look at it. I understand that the cavalry is going to be there in force, and if you've never seen a charge of horses, it's definitely something to... something to see. So, you are going to be with me today, and I figured it would be a good opportunity to go over the propositions that are going to be on the ballot coming in November and talk about those a little bit. So, ask your questions in the chat room, and Savannah will be watching that for me, and call in 605-4567, and we'll get going. Had ourselves a little bit of rain this week, which is fantastic to see. I hope it continues through a long, long winter of it. We definitely need it. It's helped with some of the fires up there in Siskiyou County. It's they've been hit really, really hard up there this year. Well north of over 100,000 acres lost. I hope most everybody knows what happened to Weed. Almost 145 homes, elementary school, a couple of churches, the library lost. Pretty devastating, and really part of the reason that we need to get going on the State of Jefferson here, guys, and be able to get back into our forests, back into managing our own resources with the knowledge that we have from living here. For, you know, really we have generations worth of knowledge of how to manage our resources properly, and we were doing it okay before the state of California decided to intervene, and we can go back to doing it. We can generate actual real wealth. We can get our people back to work, get our schools back up to where they need to be. It's got to get done, people. We're just getting pushed too hard. You know, with Governor Jerry Brown signing the groundwater regulations and the state of California coming for your wells now, and pending legislation on per mileage tax, and there's just so much going on, everybody. We got to get up. We got to get going. We're doing good here in the state of Jefferson. Let's keep the momentum going. So, anyways, wanting to dive into the propositions. And the first one on your ballot is going to be Prop 1, the water bond. And, Austin, this water bond, it says that it's for water storage here in the state of California, which we do absolutely need more water storage. This is something that we probably should have looked at decades ago. We really do need it, and that is something that is investing in our children's future, our grandchildren's future. But Prop 1 is not what it looks like. This thing is absolutely a pig, and they have spent a lot of time and a lot of different revisions of this trying to put different coats of lipstick on this pig to make it look good, and it can't be done. I've looked at this thing several different ways trying to find some good in it, and I can't, because the bad in it outweighs the good of any kind of good, the water storage, the jobs that it'll create, things like that. And what we've got going on here with Prop 1 is a water bond that is going to be $7.12 billion. And that's going to be strung out over 40 years in payments. And if you look at it, by the time we're done paying the interest on that, the real price tag is north of $14 billion. We're going to be paying over 100% in interest by the time that we're done. And the real problem that I have with it is, out of all of that money that we're spending, only $2.7 billion of this money that we're going to put on our children to pay for is actually going to be used for water storage. I mean, we're talking barely a quarter of this is actually going to be spent on water storage. The rest of this money is going to be spent on waterway restoration, groundwater projects, watershed revisement. Basically, this is a giant environmental bill disguised as a water storage bill. Now, the problem is here, again, there's not even enough money in it to do what it says it's going to do for groundwater storage. I was at a event down in Anderson a couple nights ago and spoke to Jim Nielsen. And I asked him, I said, well, Jim, is the $2.7 billion that's actually being allocated for water storage even enough to properly build the water storage that we need? And he said, no, it's not enough money. So we're not even setting aside enough money to do what we actually need and store water so that our farmers are not getting cease and desist orders on irrigating their crops and their livestock. Yet we're spending three quarters of this on administration fees and mitigating impediments to fish, which it is another stickler for me, because we've been told by our representatives that there will be no dam removal money in this water bond because they changed the verbiage to fish impediments. Well, according to environmentalists and standing train of thought in Sacramento, dams are fish impediments. Even though, you know, for decades, fish have been able to figure out how to use a fish ladder and get up into the lakes and the different streams and things, all of a sudden, I guess, our fish are getting dumber. Maybe they're attending public school in California. Maybe that's what happened to them. But we've got all of this money in there, and none of it is really being allocated for what it is. And what's being allocated for water storage is inadequate. So I would tell everybody that Prop 1 it's really bad. We definitely do need the water storage here in the state. The jobs would be good, but this is not the way to get it done. We need a proper water bond, a water bill. If you're going to burden my children and grandchildren and myself for the next 40 years on paying for this thing, it needs to be done right. There's actually a clause in the bill that says there will be no funds allocated for any project that does not benefit the Bay Delta. So what they're saying is if it's not a project that is going to help along the Bay Delta project, that's your tunnels taking the water to dump into the Delta, they're not even going to allocate any funds. So you've really got to look through the verbiage of this different thing. It's a terrible bill. What we need is a water bill where the money goes exclusively to water storage, building new reservoirs, building new dams, generating the greenest, cleanest energy on the planet, which is hydroelectric. And we need other things in there too. When there's funds allocated for the construction crews and the engineers and stuff, we need a guarantee that wherever possible, local people are going to be hired. We don't need to be bringing in construction groups from China like they're doing on the Bay Bridge in San Francisco. You know, this is how California has begun to operate. One of the biggest infrastructure projects in recent state history, the replacement of the Bay Bridge from Oakland to San Francisco, and it's not even Californians working on it. It's Chinese companies, it's Chinese workers, it's Chinese engineers building this thing when we could be benefiting our own people in our state. And we need assurances that kind of thing is not going to happen. If these projects are going to be done, if these dams are going to be built, the money needs to be just for the dams. It needs to go to local workers, putting local people to work. These can be great projects. They're necessary projects. Prop 1 is not the way to get it done. And so I'm going to urge everybody a strong no vote against that one. We've still got mandatory prudent reserve to get into, insurance rates, medical lawsuits, crime penalties. That's a big one for me because that one stinks too. But we're off for our first break, and we will see you on the other side.
All the gold in California.
California is in a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills. It's somebody else's name. So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you played before. California's a brand new game. Trying to be a hero.
Hi, this is Aaron.
And this is Bill.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media sound bites every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. We dig into the politics of public policy, land use, and Agenda 21. We cover smart growth, immigration, veterans affairs, education, guns, mining, timber, water, and the many, many scams of sustainable development.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not so famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
Join us for We the People Radio every Sunday morning from 8 to 10 here at KCNR 1460 AM.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff this and every Sunday for a full 2 hours of in-depth discussion with the experts in their field. Things you won't hear in the mainstream media. We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
You're probably wondering, where do I go? I'm out of coffee. Well, let me tell you, Tobacco and Brew, guaranteed to provide you with the freshest coffee beans. With the rising cost of coffee, Tobacco and Brew offers the best prices, quality, and a large variety as well. Check it out. Go in and meet the friendly staff who will help you with selection and specification of your brewing needs. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas-Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
Black roof country, no gold pavements, tired starlings.
Welcome back, State of Jefferson. And we're back. And we were covering the water bond and all of the bad things that are in the water bond. And as always, don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it. Crack open the law yourself. Take a look at it. Read it. See what it says. See what it means. Strongly suggest you don't take our elected officials' word for it anymore. So do your own research. You can go off of what I say. But I have no intention of telling anyone how they should vote and having them believe me. You need to be informed for yourself so that you know for yourself where a reliable source of the truth is. So I urge everybody to investigate these. So we're going to move on to Prop 2, Mandatory Prudent Reserve, California's Rainy Day Fund. Which sounds like a good idea, but part of the problem is exactly what is going to constitute a declared emergency, considering the condition of the state already. If we all just live in denial of the condition of the state of California and the direction that we're headed. So, looks like we got ourselves a call here in just a second. But Prop 2, and we already have a rainy day fund in the state of California. Prop 2 would change the dynamics and the money that's organized in the Rainy Day Fund and what it can be used for and what it can do. So what do we – I guess we've got Jimmy on the phone. We'll go ahead to a question here.
Yeah. Hey, Red. How's it going?
Hey, Jimmy. How goes it?
Good. Hey, just real quick, I'd like to make a comment on how people view the dams affecting the fish spawning. I've been to Ireland a couple times, and I go to a town called Ballyshannon, and that has a dam on the Erne River. And this dam's a pretty big dam. It's not as big as Shasta Dam, but it's in between the size of Keswick and Shasta Dam. But they have a fish ladder on the front of the dam, which alleviates the problem of fish spawning. And I don't see why people don't take that into consideration.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I think a lot of it, Jimmy, is ignorance. Most people who have never seen a dam or a fish ladder in operation, some of whom may never have seen a natural river running, really don't conceive of it. They think, oh, yeah, damn, river's blocked. The fish can't get up there. Obviously, this is killing fish. We should do something about it. And it's a lot of the same things that we fight up here in the Jefferson counties is just a fundamental lack of understanding of what's going on.
Right. I think it's because people that have just been around here and are used to these dams that do not have fish ladders think that they can't engineer a fish ladder around, or this one is actually on the front of the dam. If you ever look at it, it's called the Earn River scheme. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention and let folks know out there that, you know, even though it would affect the river flushing out, the fish still can get around a dam. They have fish ladders. They engineer in a lot of places. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. Cool. I appreciate it. And that is a project that they can look at is building proper access for fish and things like that. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's a proven way to do it. And a lot of people do have concerns, too, about the river being able to naturally flush itself due to the lack of flow. Again, here's a fundamental misunderstanding of the way that rivers work. Is when California shut down mining, dredge mining, suction mining in the state, in our waterways, because they're worried about the miners and the suction dredges harming fish. And again, here's a lack of understanding, because this is what a suction dredge does when it goes in. Number one, it starts to clear the chaff and dump it out on the riverbank as tailings. So when a miner comes in, he's actually clearing the river. He's deepening the river, and as he's doing so, he's stirring up a lot of the parasites and the smaller life forms and the river crustaceans and things like that, which really turns into a little bit of a feeding frenzy for the fish in the initial. But as that miner gets down in there, as he gets the big rocks out in the chaff, and then he gets down into the black sand and stuff where he's looking for his color, for his gold, he's actually restoring the river down to the sand that the fish need for spawning beds. So here's, again, an example of the law of unintended consequences being a benefit to the environment by the use of man. And wanted to bring up, too, there was a huge decision this week in the Third Appellate Court of Appeals that the Third Appellate Court of Appeals actually ruled that the state of California does not have the right to stop people from mining on federal lands that the state of California deems as closed. And I want to explain this because to some people it may seem like splitting hairs, but this is a very important concept to understand because a lot of people are worried that this decision is setting precedents for the federal government to supersede the state on lands within the state. Because remember, federal lands here, unless it's a national park, are not owned by the federal government. They're managed under contract. But the issue here specifically is the minerals, is the gold that these miners are after. And going after those minerals, exploring, surveying, locating, harvesting those minerals and putting them into beneficial use, valuable minerals of beneficial use to the United States government is what's being protected here. It's not the federal government superseding states' rights on the land. And this is how they rule. Due to the Mining Act of 1872, which is under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, so here we have a Tenth Amendment argument where the federal government gets to supersede the state statutes because it is a power reserved to them in the Constitution. The Third Appellate Court of Appeals stated that the state of California could not lawfully indict, arrest, convict, prosecute anyone for operating without a permit in waterways in the state of California because the state of California was refusing to issue mining permits, which the court considered a de facto ban on mining, which is unconstitutional. So, again, I am not a lawyer. Look for it yourself. Don't take my word. But the way that decision reads, miners, dredgers, you can get back into the rivers. You can start mining. You can start going after your color again. And the regulations at the moment are kind of wide open until the state of California starts to issue permits again. Because until the state of California begins to issue permits, their regulations are invalid under federal law. So you are under the federal mining regulations, not state of California regulations right now. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't take my word for it, like I said. But that is a huge victory out of the appellate court. And it's going to change the dynamic on a lot of different things. And it's again, using the tools that we have in the box to keep our government off of our back. We have a lot of tools. Our founding fathers and the people that came before us have granted us a lot of tools to resist the things that are going on. But we have to be able to identify those tools and use them. Some of the tools in the box are so rusty, people have forgotten that they're there. I mean, how many people have a fundamental understanding of the 10th Amendment and why the state has so much power over the federal government? And that's one of the basic foundations that a lot of other things are built on. So good job to the Third Appellate Court of Appeals. Get out there, find that gold, guys. Get some money off of it. And definitely a good thing. So getting our way back here into Prop 2. The Mandatory Prudent Reserve. As I was saying, the state of California already has a reserve. So this isn't really creating a rainy day fund. This is just changing the dynamics of what money can be taken, how much of it can be taken, how much of it has to be set aside. And now it's going to have a provision where if they want to, they can funnel the funds from the rainy day fund back into the general fund. So they're taking our rainy day fund, which was a good idea, and they're cracking it open to begin siphoning it off into the general fund. So they're taking our rainy day fund and turning it into a slush fund. And this is how California operates. Is the progressives have learned a very important lesson over the years that if you attempt to take liberty, freedom, in the name of bringing order, people will resist you. They will violently resist you. They will actively fight you in the streets over it. But if you take it from them a little bit at a time and a little bit at a time, then they will sit still like a frog in a pot and wait for the water to come to boil. And that's what they're doing to us here in California. They lead us into it. They set up that rainy day fund years ago with the intention of doing exactly this. Of cracking open that fund once it hits a certain level, cracking open that fund and siphoning it off into the general fund. They have become very patient. I mean, they have spent decades infiltrating our schools, infiltrating our government, infiltrating everything to dynamically change the way that California and America itself works. And we need to be aware of that. And that is why we have to be ardent. That's why we have to draw lines. And that's why we have to put a stop to it where it begins. Is because if you let the first little piece in, then another little piece will come in and another little piece will come in. And before you know it, the entire thing is sitting in your living room asking you for money. Well, not really asking. But so what this does is it takes a larger chunk to be set aside in the rainy day fund. Okay, and allows more to be deposited in that rainy day fund. But it also allows them to siphon off up to 50% of the funds, not only that are deposited after Prop 2 passes, but the funds that are already sitting there right back into the general fund, and it can go to wherever they decide that it wants to be. Basically, this is a theft of our cookie jar. The state of California, the citizens were wise enough to set aside a cookie jar. And the state of California, by pretending that they want to add to the cookie jar, is really just taking the money out. So we got to get off to another break, and we'll get into Prop 45 and insurance rates.
Hello, Frank Muse with Norton Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have one or two used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for 9 in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome back, State of Jefferson, and for those of you that are just joining us, wanted to let you know that our program today is brought to you by www.jeffersonstatestore.com, and looking for your Jefferson gear, hats, and different things that you can't find anywhere else, log yourself on to www.stateofjeffersonstore.com. Get in there, get your stuff, support a good cause, and show your gear, get the word out there. Now, we're going to be moving on to Prop 45 insurance rates. Now, basically what Prop 45 would do is it would require any changes in insurance rates to be approved by the state's elected insurance commissioner. Take a second to think about that and what I just said. Any change that a private company wishes to make in its deals with private citizens, the state has to approve of. All right, we got a phone call here real quick. Hold on. Morning,
Hello.
Terry. Hello.
Hello, Robert?
Yes.
Hey, great show this morning.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, just a quick announcement. You may have done this about the Tea Party.
No, I haven't.
Okay, this Monday night we have Chris Ann Hall. That's going to be at 2570 Bonnie View Road, Destiny Fellowship Church at 6 o'clock. And Chris Ann Hall will be the best speaker on the Constitution anyone has ever heard. She resides in Florida. She is going to be here Monday night at 6 o'clock. There's no charge for the event, and it ties in with everything you've been talking about, Robert. Chris Ann is, as I say, probably the most amazing speaker and most probably gives the best information on not only the Constitution but the origin of the Constitution. It's just absolutely amazing.
That's good. I have heard from a number of people that she's fantastic. I've never seen her myself. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, you know, it'd be great. I'm sure that you'll get to meet with her and talk with her. She's very, very personable. She'll chat with people after. And I also want to bring to light that the Shasta Lantern paper has been amazing. It's nice to know that we have a paper that is going to be telling people really what's going on and not pull any punches and report and give the facts. And I'm just thrilled with that newspaper, and I just want to encourage everybody where they see that, pick up a copy. It's an amazing paper with great information, and keeps everyone updated on what we're doing in the Jefferson movement, and also keeps everybody updated on local issues in their area.
Well, thank you for the plug. We definitely appreciate it. We think we're really kind of finding our pace with this paper, and we are. We're getting information out there, and we're doing something kind of new to the North State. We're actually investigating stories and reporting the truth of it. We're trying to avoid political slant. We do have editorials where people give their opinion, but we do try to keep that separate. Like the paper that will not be named here in town has a real hard time seeming to blur the lines between opinion and fact, and not just being part of the copy and paste press, but actually get out there on the ground ourselves, find out what's going on, and then pass that truth on to the people.
Yeah, it's great. I'll let you get back to your show there, buddy. Anyway, great job. And again, Shasta Lantern's wonderful. But folks, Chris Ann Hall, the Chris Ann Hall, and that will be Monday night at 6 o'clock at Destiny Fellowship Church. That's 2570 Bonnie View Road in Reading, 6 p.m. Monday. No charge for this. Okay, guys, have a great day, and good job, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Terry. And, yeah, anybody, you've got an opportunity to hear Chris Ann Hall, probably, as Terry was saying, one of the best scholars on the Constitution, for free. Absolutely free. Get down there and learn some things. Educate yourself. I mean, don't look at knowing the founding values of your country as a burden. You should be proud of what your forefathers did. Be proud of your country again. I mean, we're pretty amazing people here in America. We really are. You know, we get digressed into so much of, you know, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat anymore? You know, I'm sorry. I think from now on, if somebody asks me if I'm a Republican or a Democrat, the answer you're going to get is I'm an American. And that means something. And it used to mean something. And we used to be proud of it. And we have spent the last decade being taught that we should not be proud of who we are, that we should fundamentally change who we are, considering that we've been the most amazing nation on the face of the planet for 250 years. Are we perfect? No. Have we made mistakes? Yes. But the difference between America and the rest of the world is we really try hard to learn from those mistakes, correct it, make it right, and do what we can to move forward as a people. That's the fundamental difference between us. And it's time, again, to stand up, be proud of who you are, be proud of your country, and don't be ashamed. Don't hide your head anymore. It's nonsense. So get down there, find out what the Constitution means, be proud of it. So, okay, back to Prop 45. Proposition 45, as I was saying, would require changes in insurance rate to be approved by the state's elected insurance commissioner. So, you have a private insurance company in contract with a private citizen, and the state is looking for approval to dictate not only to the insurance company but to the private citizen what they have to pay for their insurance, for their medical coverage. Not only that, if this passes, the insurance commissioner will be able to go back retroactively, which is seems to be California's new favorite thing, is going back in time. And if he decides that the insurance rates that you've been paying for the last years are too much, then the insurance companies are going to have to reimburse you. Now, let's understand a fundamental tenet of capitalism. Insurance companies are in business to make a profit. Evil, evil people that they are, they actually want to make money. So how are they going to pass that on to the people, this loss of revenue? The insurance companies are going to find somewhere, some way to get that money back that they're losing, because they are in business to make money. And that is ultimately going to land in your lap. What this is it's an attempt of the government to further break the insurance system so that the government has to seize in and we move to a single-payer system. And as Joseph Stalin said, if you control people's health, you control the people. That is absolutely what this is about. And think about who you have running for insurance commissioner. Do you want Ted Gaines to decide what your insurance rate should be? Really? Empty suit Gaines? I'm not even sure the guy could name the counties that he represents without notes. And you want that guy in charge of your insurance rates? You really want anybody in from the government in charge of your insurance rates? Because here's the thing that seems to be forgotten too. In a free capitalist market, you can vote with your dollars. If you don't like the insurance rates that your insurance company is asking you, don't pay them. Go somewhere else. Get together with other people and boycott the company. Because if they're not getting customers, they have to adjust their rates to respond to you. We have forgotten our ability as consumers to manipulate the market. Stop buying. And a lot of people are going to go, oh, well, how do I not buy insurance? Which is hard because now you're going to get fined by the government if you don't purchase insurance. But these are the things that we have to look at. This is one of those rusty tools in the box that we seem to forget about. Vote with your dollars. Because really, what is money? Money is nothing more than a representation of wealth that you have generated for yourself through your labor or your ability to negotiate or barter. It's simply a representation of part of yourself. Vote with your money. If you have a problem with what you're being charged, don't shop there. If you don't like the fact that they're paying some kid in Honduras 14 cents an hour to sew your shoes together, don't buy those shoes. Tell other people about it. Get them together so that they don't buy it. A boycott is something that Americans have forgotten. That's one of the tools that we can use. We don't need the government involved regulating and enforcing insurance rates in the state of California. You've got to be out of your mind to even think of something like this, especially in California. It also allows the insurance commissioner to pass fees to even file to apply to change insurance rates. It's just another money laundering scheme so that the state of California can siphon funds off. Prop 45 is absolutely horrible. And anybody that wants to look to the state to dictate what they can pay for medical coverage, you're out of your mind. I'm sorry, but this one is absolutely horrible too. It's like I said, don't take my word for it. Go read the law yourself and stop and think about what it means. So now we're going to be moving on to Prop 46, medical lawsuits. But there's more to it. Prop 46 wants to initiate required testing, drug testing, your analysis of doctors and nurses. They want to do it on a random basis, much like they do with truck drivers already. And if there is any occurrence, an accident, anything like that, the doctor or nurse involved is to be immediately tested for drugs. It doesn't sound that terrible on the surface, except again, we have the government dictating to a private institution how they must operate. I would submit to you that this should probably be policy of a hospital already to begin with, and probably is. What it does is set up another state bureaucracy, another state board that is going to have oversight over private industry that's going to add to the expenses of you. And they put actually in the language that none of the fees shall be passed on to the consumer, to the patient. It'll be passed on to the doctor. Well, what is the doctor going to do? The doctor's going to raise his rates to pay for it and pass it on to the consumer. That's how it works. The other thing that is in it, and I actually support this, is it wants to create a database, a pharmaceutical database, that a doctor can access to see what other prescription people have. And stop prescription drug abuse, which is really bad here. And I have a couple of caveats to that, a couple of qualifiers. number one, the database stays secret between the doctor and the patient. It needs to remain doctor-patient privilege. No way should the state or anybody else have access to it. And one of the things that it stops are SMURFs. Now, if you don't know what a SMURF is a person that goes and finds different doctors. They'll go to a chiropractor and get a prescription for something. They'll go to a therapist and get a prescription for Norco, and then they'll go to their regular doctor and say they have sciatic pain and get a prescription for Somas, and then they'll go find another doctor and they've got a foot problem, so they're going to get a prescription for hydrocodone. They go and they find all of these different doctors, and they get all these different prescriptions, and then they take them to the Papa Smurf, who's your drug dealer, sell all their prescriptions to him so that he can distribute them on the street. Now, this database would allow a doctor to access that and see what prescriptions that they're getting already. So if he opens it up and sees this person's got six prescriptions for painkillers from six different doctors, he can go, Now, I don't believe in the mandatory reporting thing where they report them to the police, but I do believe in the doctor having the ability to not write them a prescription because they're misabusing the system. So for me, Prop 46 is one of those things. They've got something good, and then they shovel a bunch of stuff on top of it and kind of ruin the bill. On that one, do your research. Make up your own mind what you think. I have an issue with the new state, with the new board being set up, the hospitals and the different clinics having to set up a board to review their doctors. The drug testing policy is probably a wise policy, but it needs to be instituted by the private institution, not dictated by the state. And to be honest, as long as the database stays between the patient and the doctor permanently, I don't think that's actually that terrible an idea, and we've got to get to a break.
Felt nothing but right, feeling near immortal every Friday night.
Lost in our convictions, lips stained with wine.
Hi, this is Sherry with the Good News Rescue Mission, and today a young lady named Venus came into the mission, and she was so happy and even had tears in her eyes, and that wasn't her story not too long ago, because she came to the mission homeless, broken, afraid, alone, and today, through the help of those of you who support us and the programs of the Good News Rescue Mission, she, with a smile on her face, got a job and is going back to college, and her life has completely been restored. In her own words, she said, "The mission changed my life." Venus is just one of thousands whose lives have been transformed at the Good News Rescue Mission. To hear more stories like hers, or to make a donation and help be a part of that solution, or to refer somebody in need, go to our website at gnrm.org. That's for Good News Rescue Mission. Or check us out on Facebook. Become a part of the solution. That's the Good News Rescue Mission, gnrm.org.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Welcome back, State of Jefferson. And to let you know, the last part of our show here is being brought to you by Satic Energy in Motion. If you want to know how to clean up a smart meter, how to stop the EMF waves in your house, how to help balance bad circuits in your house, save money on your energy bill, you need to contact Satic and Energy in Motion at Energy in Motion MT. That's Mike Tango. EnergyInMotion.com. Talk and ask for Dale or Big Dale and talk to those guys, and they've got a product for you that can help reduce your energy bill, clean up smart meters, and fix dirty energy in your home. It's a great deal. All right, moving on to Prop 47, crime penalties. Now, this one is being sold to you as a crime bill. This is supposed to help reduce crime. Well, it doesn't actually reduce a single bit of crime. It reduces the penalties for crime. So what this does is it takes what is currently felonies and turns it into misdemeanors. So the state of California's solution to rampant crime, to fix it, we'll just stop making things crimes. I don't get the logic behind that one. But as an example, shoplifting right now, if you steal over $450, used to be $300, but if you steal over $450, it is a felony. Well, now the state of California wants to open that to $950. So really, we're not stopping the shoplifting. We're not stopping the criminal. We're just going to enable the criminal to steal more and not have to go to prison because our prisons are too full. This is a prime example of Sacramento thinking. This thing is another terrible one. And they are claiming by letting people steal more, by easing the rules on fraud and burglary and theft and all of these different things, that we're going to save money as the state. And as the state, we're going to put that money into drug rehab programs and school education and things like that and be preventative about crime. Well, considering as most state-run drug rehabs have a 72% recidivism rate. That's right. Or no, sorry, wrong statistic. They have a 68% recidivism rate, which means they are successful 32% of the time. Right? Yeah, 32% of the time. Which is a failing grade. I don't put a lot of faith in that. And educating school children not to commit crimes. If they're not getting that education at home, I don't think the schools are going to be able to get it through to the kids much better. It's a harebrained scheme to funnel money. And it, why would it not increase crime if, you know, you're basically doubling the amount that somebody can steal and not go to prison? How does that solve anything? And they're trying to sell it as the Safe Neighborhoods and School Act. They always put a nice, pretty name on it, and it's ridiculous. It's trying to get more money to the Department of Corrections, and for some reason, the schools. But the money that's going to the schools is not actually going to even be used for programs to educate children. It's going to be used to pay to administer programs for the children. The actual programs themselves, the schools still have to apply for grants and funding for the programs. The funds that they get are to be used exclusively for administration of these programs. So, and the same goes for the corrections. Now, I'm sure there's some people that'll make the argument that if you can save 32% of the people on drug recidivism, it's worth it. It may be, but are there better ways to go about this than simply making crime less of a crime so that we can stick our head in the sand and pretend that the problem's going to go away? It's not a solution. Prop 47 also is it's a loser. Now, the last one that we've got is Prop 48, gaming referendum, and puts an agreement between the North Fork Rancheria Band of the Mono Indians and the Wiat tribe to allow the tribes to build a casino. I'm not even sure that this is an issue. I don't know, because my problem with the Indian gaming casinos is they had an original deal with the state of California, and that's been altered. One of the things was that they were to become more self-sufficient through the use of gaming casinos, and in exchange, the state of California wouldn't charge them sales tax. Well, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger reneged on that deal, and now the state of California is reneging on another deal to the citizens and the Indian tribes. When we set up Indian gaming in California, we were assured, we were promised in writing that we would never allow Vegas-style outside interest casinos to come in and set up casinos. And now the state of California is looking at going back on that. I mean, it's a betrayal of the citizens. It's a betrayal of the Indian tribes. And just another example of what's going on. And so for Prop 48, I don't understand enough of the issues to see why this is going to require a vote of the citizens for an Indian tribe to be able to build their casino. So if anybody has any information on that, please pass it on to me. I'm really curious. So vote whichever way on that, I think, is because I don't understand why it needs to go on the ballot. Under the current law, it needs to be really between the state and the Indian casino. So I guess the issue is that it would allow the Indian tribe to build the casino outside of reservation land. So I I'm not enough up to speed on that to really comment intelligently on it. So I will look into that more and hopefully bring it to you next week. On the surface, I would think that it's probably a bad idea to let a casino be built outside of the bounds of an Indian nation, but I'm going to have to look into the specifics more, because that's what you got to do, people. You got to crack into these propositions. You got to take a look at them yourself. Don't take my word for it. A lot of events coming up for State of Jefferson. October 14th, we're going to be in front of the Board of Supervisors of Plumas County for a presentation that has been moved from the 7th. We're really looking forward to that. We have received a huge positive response out of Plumas County. We think there's good things coming there very, very soon, and hope to bring you some good information. We've also got things coming up in Lake County, Trinity County, Colusa County. Mendocino County is starting to wake up, and they're starting to look good too. And that's what is amazing, is as I was talking about, so many people are politically motivated anymore by partisan politics. Here in the state of Jefferson, we're crossing the line, and this is a partisan argument. It is, but it's not a political partisan argument. It's rural and urban. It's Northern California against Southern California. And we're trying to avoid any form of animosity between it. But when one side has all of the power to negotiate and absolutely refuses to pay attention to the other side of the negotiation, then the split it's necessary. And it is. It's crossing party lines. Lake County and Mendocino County, a purple county, a very purple county, and a blue county, if you want to look at the world through just those colors, are very interested in this. Humboldt County is starting to wake up because people are starting to understand, regardless of your political party, regardless of what you think, you have to have representation for your voice to get heard. You have to have an equal seat at the table to be able to negotiate so that you can chart the best course for your family, for your children, and for your future. And without that representation, we're dead in the water. So it's good things are happening. And like I said, hope you listen to me on the props, but do your own research, make your own decision. Have a great week, State of Jefferson. We will both be back, the Mouse and I, next weekend. And until then, have a great one. Arise,
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The nation's air travel system is beginning a slow recovery after an alleged act of employee sabotage at a control center brought Chicago's two international airports to a virtual halt yesterday. And Daniel Baker of FlightAware says the ground stop in Chicago, of course, had a major ripple effect around the country.
Not only are people affected at the Chicago airports, but also for airplanes that are transiting the Chicago airspace. That's airplanes that, for example, a flight from New York to Denver that might typically overfly the airspace controlled by the folks in Chicago, they're having to be rerouted.
And that rerouting continues today. More than 600 flights have been canceled today at O'Hare and Midway airports. That's down from more than 2,000 yesterday at the height of the travel miseries. Warplanes from the U.S.-led coalition have struck militants attacking a Syrian town near the Turkish border for the first time. Meanwhile, defense analyst Francis Tusa telling Britain's Sky News that the coalition air campaign has to be getting help from somebody.